Hello, it's Larry Clark with another From the Composers series of podcasts where we talk to composers about their music and their background. We're going to be talking today to composer Chris Ferguson. Welcome, Chris.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm great. How about you?
Doing great.
Awesome. Well, we want to get right to the heart of the matter here. And can you talk to us a little bit about your background, how you got started in music, and how that led into then being a composer and writing music that now, of course, Excelsior Music is going to be publishing?
Sure. I started playing trombone back in fifth grade and just fell in love with it. And I thought I was going to have a career playing. And then one day I went into a classroom to substitute teach for the band director that had left and just fell in love with teaching. And I've been teaching now for about 20 years. And I focus mainly, I've taught high school and college and middle school. And right now my focus is mainly with beginning band and middle school band. And I always found that I was searching for a particular music that would fit my kids and the music that my kids would need. And I had a hard time finding it sometimes. And right. So finally I had a list of items that I wanted in a piece of music. And I realized, well, if I've got these items I want to have in a piece of music, why don't I just try writing it? And I tried writing a piece, and it was really hard, and it sounded horrible. And then I kept going, and I kept trying and kept trying. And then finally it started getting better, and my kids started liking it. And one day I heard one of my students whistling the tune in between classes, and I knew I had something going on there. And there I had great support from great friends such as yourself. And that kind of mentored me along the way. And I just love it. I love writing music that fits the kids and gets them excited about playing. And that just it reminds me of my own excitement that I had when I first started band. And I love seeing that excitement in a student.
Well, I can definitely say to the folks listening that you definitely come at this from the aspect of knowing what students at the age level you're writing for can do. And that certainly, I believe, translates into the music you write and also makes it more interesting because you understand what they like and what they don't like too.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's really essential. And it's interesting because a lot of composers, including myself, have come at it sort of from the back door of being a teacher first. And I think that's great because your music then, you know, really fits the needs of teachers out there.
I appreciate that. And that's the main thing. We're identifying what kids like to play. And that's the bottom line. Kids want to play. Kids want to play. And when they can find accessible music, it just keeps that excitement going.
Now, do you write anything else other than for concert band?
Well, mainly for my students in the concert band, but I'm also in a brass quintet. So I've written some brass quintet material, and I'm in a group called the Giannini Brass here in North Carolina, and we play in a lot of different venues, so that gives me an opportunity to write, and I've written a few jazz band charts as well.
Oh, great. Excellent. So tell us a little bit about your process. How do you get started composing a piece? What comes first?
That's a great idea. Well, with the process that I like, I usually have an instrument in my hand, and I like to start with a melody. And find a melody that works well for that instrument. So with, for example, a march, I'll a lot of times pick up a trumpet and just see what kind of comes to mind. With all the pieces that, the concert band pieces that I've written, once I write the piece, I actually play it on that instrument. I try to. I play it on flute, I play it on clarinet, and I kind of see not only does it fit sonically when you hear it, but when the performer plays it themselves, what it feels like for them, and make sure it fits the instrument and that it's accessible to them. And that kind of helps create the piece, shape it and polish it as well from beginning to end. And that way I know it works for all the instruments.
So you're one of those teachers that can play all the instruments.
I can play all the instruments. Playing them well, I don't know about that, but I can at least play them all.
Yeah, I always had, you know, I always had trouble with the trumpet, especially that mouthpiece was just too small for my chops, I think.
Yeah, that and flute and going back and forth. There's definitely better flute days than others.
Right. So once you then come up with sort of the tune and, you know, in the key that you want it in that'll fit for the instruments that you want it to play the melody, then what comes next?
Now, also, I also try to make sure that every instrument has a moment to shine throughout the piece. And right. that we don't just have a trumpet-heavy piece or a flute-heavy piece. As a low brass player myself, I make sure that they have those moments to shine as well. So I want to make sure that the piece is accessible to each instrument, but also each instrument has a moment that they can go home and practice, a moment that they can whistle the tune in the hall, and right. it sticks with them.
Well, then they're going to want to practice it.
That's right. That's right. And the more they practice, they get better. The more they get better, the more they want to practice, and so on and so on.
And yes, and I also think it's really important what you said about, you know, making sure everybody has an important part, making sure the low brass get an important part as well, because why would students want to play those instruments if they don't get anything to play?
And a moment to shine. That's right. And also with each piece, there's at least two or three main concepts as a teacher. When we pull this out for a student, I select this piece because I want my students to take this away from the piece. I want my students to take, for example, to get a better grasp of syncopation by playing this piece, to really work on their dynamic contrast using this piece. I want to have a good teaching moment for each one of the pieces. And also strive for the piece to actually tell a story as well, because when kids can connect music with a story, I think they perform it better and it deepens their love for the music.
Absolutely. So then once you have sort of the basics of the piece, do you then go to a piano or computer or keyboard, or what's the next step?
Once I get it, I start putting it together on a laptop computer using music writing software. And again, too, if I get stuck, I'll pick up an instrument and I'll start playing it and just see what fits best.
That's interesting. That's unique. I mean, a lot of composers will just sit down at some sort of a keyboard or piano and sort of realize a piece in their mind, you know, out of their mind onto the keyboard and then onto the computer.
Right, right. And it's the structure and the process is pretty much in my head first. And then once it's set, then we put it on the computer. Once it gets in the computer, I would say it's about 80 to 90% done from my end. And that last 10%, of course, is the hardest. that last polished part.
Right, right. Exactly. So do you ever experience in your writing what people would call writer's block? And if you do, you know, how do you get past that?
Wow. Writer's block is tough. And that's what I'm still trying to learn how to deal with. For my end, I think too, I have several pieces that are started. And the question for me is, do I keep going with this piece or do I change gears to a different piece?
Right.
And I've got a file of pieces that are about 50 to 80% there. And they're just sitting there and I'm trying to figure out which one do I need to put the attention to next. And that's for me, the struggle is which one gets the attention. When I do get a piece, if I find I'm stuck, I just have to walk away for a little bit, take a few days away, come back, fresh perspective. And a lot of times when I go to a live performance, then I'll come back to some of those pieces and I get more inspiration and things. There's more clarity there after I hear a live performance.
Hearing other people's music.
That's right. That's right.
Yep. Yes, that's a pretty common theme in these podcasts that we've done, that by and large, composers, number one, walk away, and number two, they listen to other people's music, and that stimulates their own ideas in the process.
That's right, and it doesn't have to be concert band music. Anything, bluegrass, jazz, it all weaves together.
That's excellent. Well, that's another episode of From the Composer. This is Larry Clark. Thank you for listening.